ගරු රවු් පපි හකීම් ගරු මන්තිත්තුමා විනාඩි 15ක් කාලයක් ඔබතුමන්ට.
Honorable presiding member, to preface my arguments on the second reading of the budget, I would like to quote this from a publication by the ODI think tank, where the contributors are the former two governors of the central bank, Indrajit Kumaraswamy and Nandalal Veerasinghe, the current governor, and also prominent economist Professor Shanta Devarajan. Among the contributors, they are there. In this book, it says this: the improvement in the economy can be traced to a combination of decisive stabilization measures, the IMF program and the interim Indian aid. Together with that, they say, the country's 17th IMF program has brought in the toughest policy conditionalities and austerity measures so far in Sri Lanka. It focuses on revenue-based fiscal consolidation and seeks to significantly raise tax revenue and increase utility prices, control inflation by raising interest rates, eliminating monetary financing, and ensuring an independent central bank, rebuild foreign exchange reserves through flexible exchange rate and other measures, safeguard financial stability by ensuring adequately capitalized banks and a new banking act, and reduce corruption risk through better fiscal transparency and public financial management. This is said by the IMF report in 2023. Now, this has all happened before the government took over. All this had taken place. The most difficult job has been completed by the previous administration. And it also says, Sri Lanka sought bridging financial aid from India to finance essential imports of food, fuel and medicines in the first 6 months of 2022. Indian aid worth 3.8 billion flowed to Sri Lanka through credit lines and deferred loans and grants. This meant this was India's largest bilateral program for any country in recent times. So if not for that, we would have been in dire straits. All these things happened before this government took over. So now they are continuing to now abide by the rules set by the IMF, very obediently following their dictates. Now, if you look at, I talked about cost-reflective pricing formulas. CEB started increasing exit rates to go along with the cost incurred. So, not only that, what was the origin of 2022, Mr. Kabir Hashim mentioned that the loss was 298 billion. Right? But 2024, there is a profit of 1,044 million profit. So from 298 billion loss, there is a 1 billion profit had been declared. So with that, what did the president promise the consumers? During elections, he said, we will reduce the electricity rates by 30%. Did it happen? Because IMF will not allow you to do that. Much worse than that, IMF insisted you must add on the legacy debt. So whatever debt that was accumulated has added on. And for the consumer, the consumer is paying all this. So the president, what he promised, he never did. Of course, a very, very flowery speech was made yesterday, but promises were not kept. So that is one issue. Now, I would like to go on to the other important factor, that is about now, speaking about the CEB. Now in the public domain, there is discussion regarding the issue relating to the grand theft of our nation's power. I would like to, this is arguably the most brazen, calculated and unconscionable raid on the public purse in the history of the Republic. What we are witnessing, Mr. Presiding Member, is not a mere accounting anomaly. Now I am talking about the grand theft, an orchestrated plunder of Ceylon Electricity Board executed over decades by a cabal of 15 individuals led by one UD Jayawardhana, who weaponized insider access and fiduciary trust to siphon billions from the state. This is not conjecture. This is now the finding. This is happening in the, within in this parliament. There are discussions going on now. This is in the public domain. Now, now we see. Let me talk about the anatomy of this theft. In 1980, the CEB founded Lanka Transformers Limited to serve the public interest. It was a state-owned entity with 70% of its shares held by the CEB. Over time, foreign shareholders wanted to exit from the company. What happened? Instead of the CEB reclaiming its rightful stake, the board, chaired by Mr. Nalinda Ilangakon, declined to purchase the shares, citing cash flow constraints. It was just a mere 500 million. Right? CEB said, we can't pay this money. We have cash flow constraints. What happened? Then came the betrayal. What happens? Mr. Ilangakon, wearing two hats as a chairman, both of the CEB and LTL, facilitated the transfer of these shares to a private trust, LTG ESOT, controlled by very insiders who orchestrated the scheme. This trust, now renamed Peradew Private Limited, is 82% owned by the robber gang of 15 engineers. They now beneficially own 29.30% of LTL holdings without investing a single rupee. How is this happening? Now, this is a very, very serious matter, Mr. Presiding Member. The value of this almost 30% stake is estimated to be between Sri Lankan rupees 34.5 billion rupees. And this is between 34.5 billion and 64.5 billion, as per independent valuation done by NDB Investment Bank and CTCLSC Capital Private Limited. I'm going to table all these documents. Since 2018, this gang has pocketed almost 5 billion in dividends. All this was enabled by leveraging the sovereign strength of the CEB without public consent, without transparency, and without a shred of accountability. And what do they do? They don't even commit themselves to audit by the Auditor General. They go and file action after action in courts. And it is a shame. There is a member of the cabinet who went and filed action against this and withdrew the action. Why did he withdraw the action? He withdrew the action after filing in the Supreme Court. This also happened. Now, they call it a management buyout, but this is a betrayal of the people. We must demand a full forensic audit of LTL Holdings and its share transfers. Immediate referral of this case to the Commission to investigate allegations of bribery and corruption. And legislative reform to prevent any future abuse of state-owned enterprises and employee trust. This is not just about recovering stolen billions. It is about restoring public trust. It is about sending a message that no one, however powerful, can loot the state and walk away unscathed. So this is a very, very important exposure. In the past, we boldly challenged the e-visa scandal during the last regime. We went to Supreme Court, and today the controller of immigration has been punished, and he is in jail for contempt of court for not obeying the court order, and the case is to be taken up recently. A member of the government pointed out as if it is their achievement, but it is us, the opposition members, went to court and challenged it, and finally got it cancelled, the tender that was awarded without any transparency, which finally has robbed the country, which was to be robbed the country by of almost one-third of the entire IMF bailout would have been earned by them if we allowed the contract to stand. So we went to court and challenged it. Of course, the arguments are pending in that case. In the meantime, I would like to refer to some of the proposals in this budget. Now, particularly, there was a member, a lady member of the government, who spoke about this new community development councils to be established in every gram and little division to identify real development needs and opportunities of the people. Now, steps are being taken to plan regional development programs of the government according to the development needs identified by these councils. How are these councils created? Now, already some areas, the councils have started to be created. Government members are going and forming these councils. in order to implement integrated rural development program island wide under the national campaign for eradicating poverty, the president said he is allocating 20,000 million in addition to the provisions of 4,250 million, and almost it's about 25,000 million in total for Praja Shakti program and all of this included. So these councils are being formed, and government members are going and appointing defeated local authority candidates as chairman of these councils. So how can this happen? Why is the transparency? You all are using your own defeated candidates to be chairing. This is happening in Akkareppattu and Attalachena. So this is the way in which the state funds are to be spent. There must be a proper legal mechanism created by an independent selection. That doesn't happen at the rural level. You all are going to have your own defeated candidates going and doing political work, having lost the local authority election. You are going to again let them control development work and sideline all the elected local authorities from being involved in development in the area. So this is another issue that I would like to highlight. Having said that, Mr. Presiding Member, we would like to deal with some of the other issues. They spoke about a few. Now, there has been an allocation of 150 million to a complex internal indoor stadium in Kalmuni. 150 million allocated. Same 150 million were allocated last year in the budget. Not a single cent spent. And this is what Mr. Kabir Hashim said. Right? Last year, 150 million spent. Again, not spent. And again, 150 million. So, actually, the entire money that has been allocated last year, only 30% physical progress, only not even 20% financial progress. This is what has happened. So that is what the assessment says. So all these monies, of course, we must thank the president for having allocated 300 million for half-finished auditorium in Nindavur. We appreciate that. That was something that for which we spent another 400 million. And it is by the time the government changed and we couldn't complete it. So this government has come forward to complete it. We congratulate him for that and thank him for that. But what happens is we don't know if the same thing as it happened in Kalmuni will happen again in Nindavur with 300 million. So please see to it that at least the implementation part is properly supervised and done to complete the work. Otherwise, all these monies allocated will be meaningless. In the meantime, also see that there is some transparency in having rural development work implemented. This morning, the Minister of Health said that all of us should participate in the district development programs, and the opposition members must participate and contribute and assist the government in doing programs. But in the meantime, they are keeping out the local authorities from doing any development work. In the meantime, there is an adjournment debate. Mr. Kabir Hashim is about to participate, where the same issue is being taken up, where they are using the governors to stultify actions of the local authorities. So all these must change if proper development in the country is to happen, and if an authoritarian tendency not to be developed. With those comments, I conclude. Thank you.
Mr. Debatamanta.